Hosea chapter 10 by Fred Pierce. Israel, that vine out of Egypt, as she's called in Psalm 18, brought forth fruit luxuriantly, not empty, as the Authorized Version has it. But ascribing his prosperity to the Baals, he multiplied idolatrous altars and pillars. And because their heart is smooth, and we think here of Ezekiel 12 and the smooth or deceitful prophesying, because their heart is smooth, they shall bear their punishment. God will break the necks of their altars like the neck of an animal, perhaps a reference to calves' heads carved on the corners of the altars, and shatter their pillars. The time would come when they would realize that they had no king because they had abandoned God. And in any case, under the hand of the Assyrians, what use would a king be? They utter empty words of falsehood when they make agreements instead of being faithful, and their right, the Hebrew is mishpat, for right, which means judgment or justice, and their right springs up out of the soil like a poisonous weed, and that from cultivated furrows. The inhabitants of Samaria shall be afraid for the calves of Bethel, that house of naught. However, Hosea uses a feminine form, cow calves, probably in derision, for there are no goddesses in God's revelation, only in idolatrous cults. The worshippers shall lament because of it. That's masculine, standing for the idol. The worshippers shall lament because of the idol, as shall the Chemarim. That's a class of idol priests that we read of in 2 Kings 23 and Zephaniah 1. The idol shall be taken to Assyria as a present to the great king. Although there is no historical record, there is no reason why the Assyrians, who boasted of the supremacy of their gods over the gods of the nations, should not have taken one of the calves to Nineveh. Israel would then share the shame of the idol, of whom they had asked counsel, and Samaria's king shall be cut off and carried away like twigs upon the surface of the water. For shoots, we think of cut off, and Amos 8, verse 2. When destruction comes upon Israel's sin and its high places, then the thorn and the thistle shall overgrow their altars, as the ground was cursed for Adam's transgression. Only in Genesis 3 is this combination of thorn and thistle found, and in the similar context of a curse. Hosea's familiarity with Genesis is evident. When these calamities come upon them, Israel should desire death to put an end to their sufferings. In the words, they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall upon us, which were repeated by Jesus. And in Revelation 6, having evidently become proverbial. That the shocking treatment of the Levites' concubine by the Benjamites in Gibeah was a significant episode in the nation's religious development is shown by the last verse of Judges 19. All that saw it said there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt unto this day. the suggested translation of the second part of verse 9, there have they stood, shall not there overtake them dwelling in Gibeah the war against the children of crime, that's according to the speaker's commentary and others, suggests that the Israelites have since pursued the same way of evil, and as the rest of the tribes banded together against Benjamin to punish the foul deed, so the same fate will befall Ephraim. Gibeah here takes on a spiritual sense, as does Egypt and Sodom and Gomorrah in Isaiah chapter 1. Unrepentant as they are, they must be chastised by God, who will send the nations against them. The allusion to furrows is obscure. It has been pointed out, however, that the word occurs only here and in Exodus 21, verse 10, where it is rendered duty of marriage. The idea would therefore be that Israel have bound themselves to two different husbands, Yahweh and Baal. An impossible situation. Ephraim is now compared in her earlier years to a heifer broken in and delighting in the easy task of treading out the corn, when, according to the law, the animal was not muzzled and could feed as it pleased. But God would now assault the beauty of her neck by putting a heavy yoke upon it. A rider would be set upon Ephraim and Judah too. In fact, the whole house of Jacob should do the hard labor of plowing. In Jeremiah 31, it records how Ephraim was bemoaning himself. I was chastised as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke, but now suffering the discipline of exile. Then follows an earnest appeal to Israel by Hosea to sow right doing in obedience to God's law and to reap the chesed, that is, the kindness, the love and faithful mercy, which he would then show to them and they to one another. At present, their ground is fallow, but there is yet time to seek the Lord, who would send the rain of his righteousness to bless their efforts. And the word rendered rain frequently means to teach. And so in the RV, we read, teach you righteousness. Now, the spirit of Hosea's plea to Israel in this verse is rather like that of Joel. Who knoweth if God will turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him? But Israel, trusting in their own way and strength instead of God's, had ploughed wickedness and reaped iniquity and the fruit of lies, an allusion to the worship of the lies of the nations, that is, their idols. A tumult, and the word is habitually used to the confused noise of war, a tumult shall arise among Israel's peoples. And peoples is the word used chiefly in the Pentateuch for the tribes. A tumult shall arise among Israel's peoples when their fortified cities are destroyed. The allusion to Shalmon and Beth Arbel is obscure, as no historical incident is known. It seems almost certain that Shalmon must be an abbreviation of the Assyrian Shalmaneser, and prophetic of the king who would bring about the fall of the Northern Kingdom. Beth Arbel is hardly likely to be Arbella on the Tigris, perhaps more likely Arbella in Upper Galilee, mentioned in the Maccabees, and frequently in Josephus. But history is silent, and we must confess our ignorance. One thing, however, seems clear. No forger would ever have bothered to insert so obscure an allusion. Whatever was the fate of Beth Arbel, a similar destruction would come upon Israel because of their devotion to the calves of Bethel. Their king would be cut off just when least expected, early in the morning, when the dangers of the night were thought to be over.